Hi, Jeff.
Hold on a sec.
Okay.
Hear me now?
Yes, I hear you.
Yeah.
Jeff, do you mind if I
Okay.
record our conversation just for my own library?
You did already ask me that.
Did you say yes or no?
Yeah, I guess so. I
Okay.
don't really know what we're talking about or
No.
anything.
Well, unless you're busy, we don't have to. No, I'm not asking you to marry me or anything.
That's
No,
good.
as you know, I'm doing a paranormal investigation and
Into what?
into this very strange thing where I think that when I look at people, I can feel health information and find missing kidneys, etc.
Okay.
I've been investigating this for over a year now. No, wait. I'd say 2 or 3 years now. And there's a lot of opposition. A lot of skeptics try to stop me. And I'm constantly told a lot of reasons why, it doesn't work. There's no reason to have another test. It's not possible. You should stop doing this. It's ridiculous. And all this time, I'm just so convinced that there's something going on that I have to keep researching. But then sometimes I have these moments like I'm having right now where I just stop to think and ask myself, what if all these critics are really right? What if there is nothing? What if I'm wasting my time and I'm the only one who can't see that?
What's the answer to that question?
I'm asking you, Jeff. That's why I'm calling you. I want you to tell me.
What do you mean? What if the skeptics are right? Is that what you're
Yeah,
asking?
but the problem is, yesterday you were telling me how you seem to agree that there is something worth looking into, and
Well, no, what I said was that your results at the IIG test were interesting, and I think you should do another test.
yeah. So because of what you said, I'm confused now. I don't know what to do or where to go from here. And
Well, I also said I don't think you have any special abilities.
good.
So, I'm encouraging you to do another test for your own peace of mind. I would imagine that if you did another test, the results would be closer to what chance would dictate,
Yeah.
and that might ease your mind. If you actually did have this ability, I don't know why you wouldn't have passed the test that you already took.
Well, I did identify two issues.
You beat well you were supposed to do something three times and you managed to do it only once.
Yeah.
So the fact that you were able to do it once is beyond what random chance would dictate.
Really? What did random chance dictate?
None.
None?
You did three shots into 1 out of 18, and on average,
18?
you should get no hits.
Where does 18 come from?
I'm sorry, it's a 1 out of
12.
12. 3 into 1 out of 12. I'm sorry, I got mixed up. So you did 3 out of 1 out of 12. So that means you had a 1 in 4 chance of getting a hit, and you beat that. So,
Huh.
like I've said, I've just seen a lot of these challenges, I've participated in some, and your results were the most impressive. They're not enough to write the
Not
New York Times
impressive,
about.
but most impressive.
So, But okay. Yeah, I mean, again, I do not think these powers exist. I have not seen enough evidence.
They couldn't exist, could they?
Well,
could such a thing ever be possible?
I can't think of a way that they could, but, you know, I wouldn't think that... there's a lot of things I don't understand. I mean, I don't claim to have complete understanding of the world. So, what the hell is this? Oh, you know, I don't know. I think that whenever we encounter things we can't explain, we should test them some more. And if you did this test another time and failed completely,
yeah,
and you thought to yourself, wow, I really thought I had it and I didn't, maybe that would be enough to convince you that it wasn't real and it wasn't worth any more time testing.
Mm-hmm.
But as Randy says, you can never disprove anything. For example, flying reindeer. Seems crazy, right? Well, how do you know there aren't any flying reindeer? Mm-hmm. There are millions and millions of people around the world that believe flying reindeer exist.
Is this the you can never prove a negative?
Well, sort of, yeah. I mean, it's definitely related to that. How can you test to be sure that there are no flying reindeer?
Mm-hmm.
You can't. You would have to test every single reindeer in existence. Because if you took a reindeer and threw it off a roof and it splattered onto the ground, all you would have proven then is that that one reindeer chose not to fly at that moment.
Exactly.
That's it.
What if my ability is real, but it chose not to work with a particular subject, or it chose not to work when I was tired?
There's a couple things there. First off, if the ability is real and you're just learning how to access it, you have to do a lot more work and figure it out.
Yeah.
You know, you need to work on that. You need to become an expert at it.
Hmm.
Secondly, if it's real and it's unreliable, it's kind of worthless.
Well, no. If you're thinking of in terms of what could you use it for, I would never use, even if I could do this, I would never use it for anything. It would still, anything I say would still have to be verified with an MRI. But.
Well, why do you trust an MRI?
Because
I mean, I don't know how MRIs work. I know some basic concepts of how they work, yeah. But as far as I can tell, they're magic, right?
magnetic resonance, nuclear, no, not nuclear. Yes, they are nuclear. That's right. They changed the name from nuclear magnetic resonance to just magnetic resonance imaging.
Well, sure, but
people are afraid of the word nuclear.
You believe these things because other people have told you to.
It's science.
Have faith in these things.
I have faith in science, yes.
Well, and I do too. And the reason I have faith in science is because many reasons. It makes sense to me, and it continues to be reliable.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but back to, you watched my whole long test.
I watched most of it. Yeah. I didn't see all of it.
Good, because it's just too long and boring.
Yeah, they all are.
Do you think, as an investigating skeptic, and you've been involved in many tests of the paranormal, and you're probably involved in interpreting the results and
there
making
never
conclusions.
Is any interpreting of results. That's an important distinction.
Oh.
There's no need to interpret results because they're self-evident.
All right. What So you only look at the results. You don't start to speculate and interpret and think and look back and try to explain and say, well, there was this thing, and then there was that. So that's not allowed? You just look at the data produced and conclude based on that?
I can speak for the James Randi Educational Foundation Challenge, which is the purpose of that challenge is to get people to prove what they say they can do.
Yeah.
It is not investigative. We're not trying to figure things out. We
am.
Leave that for others. So now,
okay.
That said, as an exercise outside of the challenge, you know, I might speculate, like I speculated about your case, and that's just me doing that. That's not part of the challenge process. The challenge is not designed to try to find anything out.
Mm-hmm.
It's to get people like you who claim to have abilities to actually do what you say you can do.
Mm-hmm.
It's also gives you a chance to do that. I mean, because if anybody wins the challenge, we're going to come out publicly and say we've conducted a scientific study of this, a scientific test, and this person passed, and we would ask the scientific community to take it from there.
Yeah. Well, what do you make of my two excuses? The first one, from trial one, my excuse is that each person, of course, each human being is very different, and that's a fact. And
yeah.
I claim that for me, some people are easier for me to do this with than are others, and that is my excuse for trial one, that there the specific set of people simply happened to be ones that were harder, and it messed me up. And luckily, I made this excuse before the results. I made it immediately after the trial. I was complaining to everybody, but unfortunately the IID cut the sound off. But they had some other cameras on the stage, so hopefully I will be given that material so I can hear what I was saying, because this was an excuse I made right there and not afterwards, to try to defend my
right.
claim. So
yep.
What do you
I'm
make of
that.
Such an excuse? Is it a valid one to make? Should I be able to read everybody? Or
that tells me that you weren't ready to do the challenge.
So I need to practice, perhaps?
Yep.
Should I be allowed
to
pass in a test and say, I cannot even try to describe anything from this person? And should I have the chance to say, okay, here's a person, and I think I can claim to see something. Now let's check for accuracy.
It could be done that way. You could be presented with 20 people, and you could go down those 20 and say, I want to read these five, or something like that. But anyway, I don't think that's unreasonable. I mean, if your claimed ability was that you could lift 100 pounds over your head,
yeah,
which is an ability that people have.
But all 100 pounds are the same.
Not necessarily. You could have 100 pounds of sand. You could have 100 pound weight. You could, you know. So, but there would be days when someone could do that and couldn't, depending on how tired they were or if they had a sore arm or whatever. So you're not expected to be consistent all the time.
Okay.
However, the challenge, you know, these things take a lot of time to set up, and there's only so much that the challenger, the people giving you the challenge, rather, can do. So that's why I say you really need to practice. You really need to get very good at this.
Yeah. Or simply, I need to get better at being able to define when am I expected to be able to do this or not. For instance, if I think a larger person is harder to feel into, I have to learn to be able to say that in advance so that a test can be designed around those limitations and issues.
Yep, create a weight limit, create, you know, a width limit, whatever.
Yeah,
everyone
whatever
has to wear
is.
Size 32 pants or whatever. You know. I mean, you know, it's your thing. You get to do that.
Yeah. But I didn't have much experience with trying to read people before I had the test, because I don't do psychic readings. If I had a shop where I did psychic readings, I would have a lot of experience to base the test on, but... So is it a valid excuse to make, or am I being ridiculous? Am I being a woo who's trying to keep alive the stream of psychic abilities?
Oh,
or is it a valid excuse to make in this case?
As long as you didn't lie, it's
no,
valid.
No, but I made an excuse before the ultrasound. Is it an okay excuse, or am I being ridiculous? Should I be able to read everybody? And the fact that I couldn't read everybody as easily, does that falsify the claim?
No, not at all. I mean, I don't know how these things work. Nobody does. This is a brand new thing. Maybe it's like playing a musical instrument, you know? You have to practice to get better. You can play Yankee Doodle after a week, but to play the Heisenberg Concerto, I don't even think that's an actual song, but I'm going to pretend that it is.
Sounds like it.
You need to practice for years, you know? Brandenburg, not Heidenberg. I don't know, some Bergs. There's all kinds of Bergs over there.
The Heisenberg Uncertainty Principle.
Yeah, the Heisenberg Uncertainty Concerto. Yes. Now, in order to play that, you need much, much practice.
Yeah.
So, So look, you know, we're dealing with something here that no one knows about, if it exists. This is completely new territory. It's brand new for everybody, so the characteristics are unknown. All a challenge can do is say that you passed or failed, and that's it. It really can't speculate as to the reasons. And that's why we let people come back and test again. No, we're not saying this is your one chance ever in the world, and if you fail, that's it. You're a failure for life. You know, we've tested a few people more than once.
Really? Were they ever better, or did they simply come back with a new claim?
No one's ever had any positive results at all. So,
like I had, you mean?
Well, actually, I've never seen one with as positive results as
yours. But we have to remember, being skeptical here, we did involve human subjects. We'll never know if there were some kind of clues.
Right.
Right?
Right.
We're not dealing
with
playing cards or dowsing rods. We're dealing with people who move about and who have a certain appearance. And there could have been a link. So I don't really think that's interesting.
Over time, magicians learn who in the audience is going to be the most cooperative for helping with card tricks. And it's not something that's taught. It's not something that you can write a book about, really. It's just that over time, they learn that people who have certain characteristics are easier to work with. And they feel that. They don't think it. They can look out in the audience and just simply say, yeah, that's the person. Yeah. Strangely, I happen to be one of those people.
Oh my gosh, they don't know you're a skeptic.
Well, but they're right, because
come across as one of them.
I am one of those people. I actually will try to, quote, I'm not going to try to help the magician, but I'm, you know, I was called up on stage in Springfield for a demonstration, and I saw how it was done, and I knew what was happening, but, you know, I played along. I didn't lie, but he asked me questions, and I answered them, and I didn't offer any more information. I didn't say, oh, yeah, I felt it when you took it off my wrist and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So other people would have. There are people whose goal in life is to screw up the magician.
Yeah.
So
they're the ones sitting with their arms crossed and a big frown on their face and shaking their head and stomping their feet and sighing and looking around. And
that's a big part of it. They're people, that's the kind of clues they give off. But you know, those are obvious ones. There are other obvious ones, unobvious ones,
subtle,
like what kind
ones,
of clothes they're wearing, how they're leaning, what seat they chose, things like that. So,
but for somebody to be missing a kidney, the IAG told me that they did the best they could to ensure that the subjects would not know what it's all about. They knew they had been asked about, okay, who's missing an organ? But no, they were not told that missing kidneys would be the target of the objective of the test. However, any one of those subjects could have, if they knew they were working with IIG, they would have gone to the internet and very quickly found a number of references to the fact that the test will involve kidneys. But if they did not know, if the missing kidney persons did not know they were the targets, there shouldn't be any external symptoms in terms of what they're wearing or their build or their body language.
What if people who are missing a kidney have a slightly different odor?
Well, then, would that qualify as a paranormal ability? I can smell myself to who is missing a kidney.
Well, but maybe it's not paranormal. I don't know, but you know,
extrasensory perception.
I don't believe in the paranormal. I mean,
no,
I have to be very clear about
that.
You have to understand what I mean. The concept of the paranormal is meaningless to me. It doesn't make any sense as a concept. There is only what is. There is only the normal. So if you let's say that you had the ability to determine who was missing a kidney, and we studied that, and sure enough, you really had this ability, and we could not falsify it in any way, I would have to say then that the ability to detect kidneys is normal.
Exactly. Rare, but normal.
Right. But, you know, there are people who can play a piece of music just by hearing it once. You know, we know that's real. It seems paranormal to me. I mean, that seems impossible that somebody could hear the Heisenberg Uncertainty Concerto and then play it back without ever having practiced.
Yeah.
But I know people can do that.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, it's like everything.
I wonder what that sounds like.
Maybe that's a concerto you will write. I don't know. But, you know, so I have to ask what your question really is here. I mean, are you trying to ask me if I think you have the ability?
No, absolutely not. I'm asking, is it foolish of me to see a reason to continue and to want to have another test? That is my question.
Only you can decide whether it's worth going through all this for you. Nobody else can do that. What I saw was an interesting test. That doesn't really mean a whole lot, but I did see an interesting test. And if you still feel like you might have some kind of ability, like, you know, you experienced this. You're the only one who experienced it. You're the only one who had the feeling, hey, this person's missing a kidney.
Mm.
If that feeling is real enough that you're sure that there's something going on here, then I don't see anything wrong with having another test.
Just to convince myself, even if everybody else were already convinced.
Well, perhaps. Yeah, but they can't be. You have more information than anybody else.
Yet I'm the one hesitating and uncertain. Maybe that's why we're talking about the Heisenberg uncertainty.
Well, no. But you're uncertain because people are telling you you're crazy.
Yeah.
Well, you might be crazy. I don't know. But this has nothing to do with this. Whether you're crazy or not really is irrelevant.
You could be a crazy person who can detect missing kidneys.
Absolutely true. No, I mean, seriously.
Yeah.
Because, you know, back to the example of the people who can listen to a piece of music and just play it. They are people who have brain defects in most cases.
Mm.
You know, they're either missing a part of their brain or a part of their brain is malformed. But they have that ability. So I am not at all saying that you're crazy or that your brain is malformed or anything like that. So just to be clear, all I'm saying is that you are the only one who can decide whether you think you have this ability or not. Or you, actually, not even that, you think you might have this ability.
Mm.
And that you want to find out more. Yeah. Now, the only problem is these challenges are not set up to be explorations into the paranormal.
Mm.
They're set up to be challenges. So you are going to run across a negative attitude. You're not going to get any help interpreting what happened. You have to do that all on your own.
Uh-oh.
Now, but there really isn't any other choice. If you were to, say, go to a paranormal research group.
I don't want to do that.
Well, but just say that you did. What would happen is they would do everything they could to prove that you had the powers.
Yeah.
And that doesn't help anybody.
Yet there are skeptics. Well, I have to make a distinction between real skeptics like yourself and IIG members and JREF. And then there are internet skeptics who are simply people with opinions who think they're skeptics because they disagree with other people. Like Jim Carr.
Well, yeah, it's hard to tell a cynic from a skeptic.
Yeah, but where was I? Well, if a paranormal investigation group would do all they can to prove me that I'm psychic, on the other hand, there are internet skeptics who do all they can to try to prove that I'm not.
Right.
I come across as the most objective one often at times.
The people who are telling you that you're wrong, that you don't have this ability, stop wasting our time, they have already decided that because of what they've seen in the world, what you're saying can't happen. And that's closed-minded. And even though I think they're probably right, it is not a skeptical point of view. So they're the people that I am trying to reach and trying to get to understand that this isn't helping anybody. We have to be open. We have to test even the most ridiculous claims. And by the way, your claims are not by far the most ridiculous.
What would be some of the more ridiculous ones you've come across?
Well, honestly, Breatharianism is pretty
ridiculous. Well, yes.
But some others are, the guy called Walk the Line, mm-hmm. who thought that as he walked down railroad tracks, he made things appear like trash and tires and dead cats and all that kind of stuff, you know.
Oh, dear. Okay. At least I'm not coming with something like that.
Have you talked, you seem to have questions about your own mental health here.
No, not my mental health, because these impressions I have, the way I manage them makes me quite confident that this isn't something that should be a reason for concern. It would be different if I was running up to people and saying, oh my gosh, you got cancer. Or, you know, if this was influencing my way of life, or reducing the quality of my life, or the lives of others, if I was making real life decisions and there were consequences based on my impressions, then that could be something that would give a reason to be alarmed. But none of that is the case. I don't think this is a mental health concern. My issue is, do I keep investigating or do I stop? Do I have another test or is it over? Is it falsified? I'm being told it's falsified. But then again, I was told it was falsified even before I had the test.
The only thing that's falsified is that if you want to call it that, you failed that challenge. There's no question, and you're not questioning it.
No.
You failed that challenge.
Absolutely.
So, okay, that's the end of that. You failed that challenge. That doesn't mean anything. If you were trying to run a 4-minute mile and you failed, what does that mean? It just means you failed that one time. That's all. It is not definitive proof of anything. So what can I do to help you?
Well, you're already doing that. I just need to hear from a skeptic sometimes, because I start to doubt myself at times like these, and I just don't know.
You should doubt yourself, though. I mean, this isn't an extraordinary claim. I mean, this is something that's never before been documented. A lot of people think they have this ability, and then it turns out they don't. Mm. So there's a lot of reason to have doubt. So that's normal. If you didn't have doubt, well, then you'd have a really hard time explaining why you failed the test.
Yeah. How do you feel about the second excuse?
The what excuse?
The second excuse.
I don't care about the excuses. I mean, they don't really matter at all to me.
Yeah. Well, excuses do matter, because if you're a woo and you start making excuses afterwards, then that kind of does matter. It means you're making something out of it that it isn't. But I got tired in the third trial. Is that a valid excuse to make?
Which excuse? I remember you said you were tired. What was the other one?
The first one was that a specific set of people in trial one were harder.
Why?
I've never had that many people in front of me to just focus on and try to find kidneys before. And I noticed that everybody was so different in terms of how easy it was for me to have an impression. And trial one happened to have several people who were harder. Number 12, he was really hard for me to feel this information from, because he was a larger person. And I was surprised of that. I wasn't expecting someone to be so next to impossible to just conclude on. Does he have his kidneys or not? I spent a lot of time on him, for instance, and some of the others in that trial, too. But, to find his kidneys, I ended up having to go in through his lower back and find the ureters and go up to the kidneys, because I just couldn't feel through his back. But I don't know. I'm puzzled. How come trial 2 was correct in
maybe you just got lucky.
No, see, that's what Steve, IIG Steve, tells me. It was a lucky guess, but it wasn't.
Well, I'm just saying maybe. I don't know. How do you know it wasn't a lucky guess?
Because I didn't guess. I was basing it on a very, very strong impression. Luckily, I had a draft paper, and every time I thought I saw a kidney, I would put an X. And when I thought that I saw the absence of a kidney, I put a question mark. So in trial 2, there were two subjects, actually. There were two kidneys I didn't find. But the one I picked was by far more seeming to be missing a kidney than the other one. I didn't guess. I put a whole lot of X's and question marks, and each of those marks is an independent and unique perception, and they were all adding up and confirming. It was confirmed whenever I went through everything. That's what I say on the video of the test. So I wasn't guessing. It was something I was perceiving time after time. So it's more like that was my performance. That was me demonstrating my claim rather than just guessing and picking something. So it wasn't a lucky guess. It wasn't luck. It was me trying to use my talent. And in trial 2, I was so confident. And it was right. And the thing that puzzles me is I knew the accuracy beforehand. Like, when I say, okay, trial 1, it's going to be wrong, it was wrong. Trial 2, I say it's going to be right, it was right. Trial 3, I say, okay, I got the person, but then I had to pick. I had to guess the side, which I also say on the video, and I had the right person, and guessing the side, it was wrong. It's puzzling.
Well, it could also just be confirmation bias, too.
How?
If in the first case, I mean, you did pick somebody in the first round, right?
Yeah.
Why did you pick that person?
The kidney I picked, I never found, and... But on the, okay, it's tricky because if I'm looking for the absence of a kidney, I would either guess on one because I never found anything there. Either I didn't find a kidney present or I didn't find a kidney absent, or I will pick a kidney as missing because I'm feeling its absence. There's a difference between if I feel, okay, there is no kidney there. That's one way of saying maybe there's no kidney there, because I feel the absence. But the other way is I could say, I'm not picking anything. I don't know if there is or isn't.
Right.
But I just felt really wrong. Bad about that trial, and luckily I talked a lot on my test, so I told everybody I don't feel good about trial 1.
Now, if you were right in trial 1, what would you say?
Well, this is after the fact, so it doesn't really count, but it wouldn't have been as convincing as trial 2 ended up being, because in trial 2, I was so sure it would be right. But if my trial 1 would have been right, of course, that would have made me think, oh, I can do it, even when I think I'm not doing it. But I don't know. What I want to do is to make an answer that I'm convinced is correct. That's very compelling for me, and for that answer to be incorrect, then I could put this to rest. I don't know. What would you suggest? Have another test.
Sure.
Have better screens.
Yeah, make it harder.
Yeah.
Although not really harder. I mean,
block known possible known sources of clues.
What was the reason you failed the first round? Do you remember? It was just that it was hard to read those people?
Yeah.
That, you should try to figure out why.
Yeah. I know one person was harder because he has a larger build. But it's not just that, unfortunately. I don't know. It's just everybody's different. So I suppose the best way to address that would be to let me pass on people when I say I couldn't tell in this person, then I should be allowed to pass.
Well, you could be allowed a limited number of those because it affects the odds.
Does it really?
Yeah.
Because if I have 100 people in a room and I'm told, you're going to have to find 10 people and tell us, are they missing a kidney or not? And I get to pick my 10. That doesn't, then the other 90 people should not weigh into the statistics or the odds,
well,
should it?
But they
that's
do.
Just like, that's just like, okay, if you say you can, if you say you can lift 100 pounds, like you said earlier, and you're presented with a room with 100-pound objects, and they say, all right, you're tasked to prove that you can lift these objects. We don't care which of these you pick because you say everything, each of them is different. Just pick whatever 10 feels best for you and see if you can lift those 10. So your selection process, where you're selecting your 10 out of 100 to perform your test on, could that be considered more like a...
That's not the same. Those are totally different things. Here's why. If you have 100 people, and I can pick any 10 and decide whether they have kidneys or not, I'm going to win that, and I don't have any abilities.
Why?
Because I can just go pick any 10 and say none of them have any kidneys missing, and chance says that I'll win.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't really work that way. You need to know that some people are missing kidneys because most people in the world aren't.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just
well,
lucky.
I do.
But the reason I'm talking to you is that I just reached these points where I'm in a crisis and normally, I just call one of the IIG members and I say, tell me, is it really falsified? And they have said yes.
No, the challenge was, but that's it. The other thing is there's no rush. You could do this again in 10 years. You could do it in 20 years.
I'm too eager to wait that long.
Well, then you should try to find ways that you can hone your ability. You know, and you could do it even by just going to a mall and just seeing what you feel and then starting to realize that, hey, I feel more from these kind of people and not those or, you know, whatever. You don't have to tell them. You don't have to say anything to them.
I've done a mall study. I have the notes from my notes from that on my website. So that's a good idea, actually. I can do more of that. I also like to go to my local fact skeptics meeting and practice on Dr. Carlson because I know he's missing his left kidney, so it's always fun to ask him if I can look at him and see if I can see it again. But then,
well, actually,
it's kind of silly because I already know, but that's
there's a test you can do with him to test your ability.
Mm-hmm.
You can put him behind a screen so you don't know if he's facing you or facing away from you.
I can't do through a screen. That's the irony of this whole...
What, you have to be able to see the person?
Yep. And the irony is, and we've had long discussions on the JREF forums, and I've made very many people very fed up with me, because I can see through clothes, or
right.
I assume to be able to, but not through a screen. But my explanation is, since I'm a woo, I have an explanation to everything, is that I have to be able to see the surface, the outline of the person, exactly where it is. And if they're behind a screen, I don't know exactly where I'm directing my feeling, you know? Because I've tried.
Well,
I've been very good. I've had all kinds of tests at home with friends. I've had people behind all kinds of screens, trying, really wanting to have a screen, but it doesn't work.
Well, that's unfortunate, because that would have been a nice way to do that.
Yeah, I've tried all kinds of screens, too. I've had plastic and glass and all kinds of fabric, all kinds of setups, too. I've tried everything. But
what if it's just completely dark in the room and there's nothing between you and the person?
Of course I've tried that as well. It was one of my earliest tests, and it doesn't work. Also doesn't work with my eyes closed and the lights on, or if I've turned my back around, or if I have a blindfold. I have tried everything. That's what I called the study, and a lot of the internet skeptics were very impatient because, you know, I didn't just go ahead and have a test. I wanted to design the best test possible, so I was trying all these things. There's something visual. Something visual that I do use, and that's kind of a humbling realization, because that's kind of reassuring too, you know, because it that suggests that there's something normal as opposed to paranormal going on. I have to see the person with my eyes,
yeah,
in order to initiate the images.
Right. So, you know, as you say, it's vision from feeling.
But it should be, it's vision from feeling from vision.
Well, yeah, right, exactly. I don't know. I would keep playing with it. If I had this ability, I would just constantly keep trying to hone it and figure it out.
Okay. Well, thank you, Jeff. Your suggestions and advice it's not what I was expecting, because I've called IIG members, especially Steve, on a few occasions after the test, and I've been at this crossroads, and I've said, Steve, just tell me, is it really falsified? Did the test prove that I can't do this? And he says, yes. Falsified.
I disagree. All that was falsified was that challenge. Under those conditions, you failed. That's all we know.
Yeah.
I failed to do some things too. Like, I have to vacuum the house right now. No, I have the ability to vacuum houses. I've done it before. Mm-hmm. But do you think there's a chance that I'll fail to vacuum the house?
Well,
I do.
If somebody offers you $50,000 to do it, I'm sure you would do it very well.
Well, what if the vacuum broke, or what if the power went out, or, you know, there's all kinds of things that could happen that could prevent me from using my ability, and I don't have control over them. So, you know, it seems silly, but yeah, you have to consider that something like that may have happened to you.
Yeah.
I don't know. Again, and I'll keep saying this, I have not seen sufficient evidence to believe that you actually have any sort of paranormal or supernatural ability.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you did beat chance. I've beaten chance many, many times myself. I've beaten incredible odds. So that in and of itself isn't that amazing. But you have questions about it. You should test it.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, I'm going to try to contact some organization who would be interested. The irony is, listen to this. Are you aware of the Rhine Research Center here in
Montreal?
Oh, yeah.
They are not scientific.
No, but you know, with their Zinner cards and but anyhow, the irony, the beautiful irony, is that the Rhine Research Center will have nothing to do with me or my investigation.
Why?
I think what they say is that they don't have the resources to investigate.
What are they doing? Yeah.
Because,
isn't that what they do?
I don't need much.
It's Jiffy Lube, but we can't change your oil because, well, we don't have the stuff to change your oil with. Sorry, that doesn't make sense. Unless they have other investigations that are going or whatever, but
I think I explained to them what I was hoping for and why I was involving some investigators, and I must have mentioned words like skeptic and such, and I don't know. But anyway, I need to find a group who's interested, and the only problem is finding people who are missing a kidney. But I'll definitely have another test, and it will be better in terms of the protocol. I was kind of let down by the screens in the IIG test because they didn't cover up very much. Just the head and face. In the next test, I would only see the back, and maybe that will lead to more inaccuracy and hopefully no excuses. And to falsify this claim, that would be awesome. I actually wanted to, when I had my answer from trial two, I was so excited. That's why you see I'm so excited on the video, because I'm saying, if this is incorrect, it's so convincing that it will be obvious that I can't do it. And I was hoping that it would be wrong. But now I have to have another test. But, yeah. Well, yeah, I just wanted to talk to you, Jeff, because so many skeptics, not just internet skeptics, which is my term for people who call themselves skeptics, but they just want to defend their opinions. Not just internet skeptics, but real skeptics, like IIG skeptics.
All right, why are you posting your horoscope every day?
On Facebook. I was reading, I have a friend who's a Scorpio, and I was reading hers just to see if it matches or not. I don't believe in horoscope, but I'm curious. So I was just subscribing on my own just to see, and I've been writing little comments.
They all match everybody.
No, I've work. Actually found several that didn't match, so it's Ooh. Just a little thingy I'm doing. Well, a lot of skeptics of all forms, good ones, bad ones, have told me not to have another test. It's falsified. I just wanted to hear your version, your ideas, and thank you. And it's not what I expected, and I suppose it's reassuring.
You suppose.
It is. I just reached these times where I'm ready to drop the whole thing and be told to stop. But
dropping the whole thing is an option.
Yeah.
And you can always pick it up later.
I just don't think it's falsified. I just don't think it is, because
it isn't.
I've done something. Something happened in trial two. It was just amazing. Oh,
you're the only one who can answer that. I mean, to everybody else.
Mark Edward was there. He was watching me very closely. That was his job. And he wrote that, you know, she was doing something. She was nodding when she got an answer. And I didn't, he's saying how he didn't see any signs of cheating or tricks or, I don't know. But hopefully the next test will get an answer. Well, that was pretty much my concern, my question that I had to ask. Actually, I was trying to contact Jim Carr on Skype, and I was telling him that I'm at this crossroads and I need to listen to a skeptic who can tell me what to do.
And you're going to listen to him?
I would even listen to him right now, yes. Oh, I asked him to tell me, is it falsified, and why, and prove, and explain. I'm listening.
All right, then I have an invitation for you. Come visit the chat room.
Where?
I'll give you a link.
His?
Let's see. No.
No, thank you. A chat room?
Yep, requires typing. You need to cut your fingernails if they prevent you from typing. Typing's important.
A skeptical chat room?
Yes. It is not run by the JREF, but it has a lot of people from the JREF in it. There's a link to it. I am often in there. If you call yourself Vision from Feeling, everyone will know who you are. If you call yourself something else, they won't. Mm-hmm. So you have the choice of being anonymous if you want. Some good people to talk to would be Kitty. If you see her in there, she's very level-headed.
Yeah, and she would, I think I know her.
Kitty NH. There's a lot of forum people in there. Ducky is in there. Oh, well, there you are. And there's Lisa. That's Lisa Simpson.
I've never seen this before. It's in a very random place, I think.
Well, it's...
It seems like a secret hideaway.
It's not that secret, but it's not run by the JREF, so, you know, it's run by Lisa, so don't piss Lisa off. There's also... you can swear in here. You can say whatever you want. And...
Jeff, did you just write that?
I did.
Someone said no thanks.
So, yeah, it's a very raucous place. So, but there are people in here who'd be willing to talk to you.
Okay.
And I think you should avail yourself of them. Mm-hmm. And I think I should vacuum. So
okay.
I'm going to vacuum. And then I will be in the chat room and online and stuff, and I'll probably go out.
Thank you, Jeff. You're welcome. You helped me out pretty well.
I'm glad.
It doesn't make it any easier, though. But,
nope. I'm not good at making things easier.
Jeff, it's, I don't know what it's like to be a real skeptic like you, but it is not easy to be a woo.
I believe you.
It's not, okay, it's easy to be a woo-woo, like somebody who just does readings and charges people money and gets a lot of fame and popularity and all, writes books and has seminars and conventions and TV shows and all of that. But it's the hardest thing to be a skeptic woo.
I believe that. All
everybody
right, talk to you later.
Okay, Jeff, thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.